Lecture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, it's another week of Nurture and Support where we bring you all the awesome that we can find in the world to share with all of you. I am Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, and there's Kelly over there.
Yes, over here. Look, here, I'm waving at you. Hi, this is Kelly, Kelly Tool on Twitter, at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L. Wow, that was almost an error. That shouldn't be that hard. Glad to be back, too, and looking forward to hearing Mel's recommendation and providing one myself, and we're glad you have joined us once again.
Yes, we are, because we like to share, and if you don't listen, it's not really sharing, is it?
No, it's just kind of sad.
I have a recommendation this week that will make all of you happy. At least I hope it will, because it makes me happy, and I can't believe that I did not know about this before. So I'm not really sure what to call this. I guess it goes in with my book recommendations, but it's really a comic slash graphic novel slash web comic. It is called Girl Genius, and it's been around since the year 2000. And I'm just now finding out about this. I am so ashamed of myself. It started in 2000 as a quarterly comic book. They have independently published it. And then, I'm not sure what year, but a couple of years later, they put it up on the web and joined the webcomic crowd. So, the good news is that this entire series is available for free online as a webcomic. So, you can go back. You have to get into their archives at girlgeniusonline.com. There are currently 13 volumes of the actual graphic novel out. So, in each one is close to 100 pages from what I've seen, and like the last volume was 160 something pages. So, I'm still in the beginning phases of catching up on this wonderful, wonderful webcomic. And to tell you what it's all about, I have told y'all in the past that I really like steampunk. I don't know what it is about steampunk that makes me happy, but steampunk makes me happy. And this particular series calls itself a gas lamp fantasy. Now, what is gas lamp, you might ask? Well, according to their FAQ, gas lamp fantasies have influences from Jules Verne and H. Rider Haggard, who I can't say I particularly liked his stuff, but Jules Verne was okay. It involves a lot of running around in Victorian underwear, occasional innuendos, and a bit of violence. So what's not to love about that?
Where's the lamp fit into that? It's like, shouldn't it be called Victorian underwear or something?
Well, you know, it's not like she runs around in her underwear all the time. But, and you know, Victorian underwear is not terribly revealing. However, the byline for this is, it's called Girl Genius. And the byline is a gas lamp fantasy with adventure, romance, and mad science. So it's essentially, it's a bunch of steampunk. They have big, but it goes beyond steampunk too. They say, you know, it could be a little bit of magic and a little bit of science, and you smush those together and that makes mad science. So this world is Victorian era Europe. They've got a bunch of crazy mad scientist type people who are technically called Sparks, and what that means is they have a gift for building contraptions like killer robots, or sometimes useful robots. But there have been big wars raging all over the place because every mad scientist spark out there tries to take over the world. And about 18 years before our story starts, two brothers, the Heterodyne brothers, and their friend, I guess, it's unclear yet where I am in the story, if he was really a friend or not. And they tried to put an end to all of this. And then they go missing. So they're gone, and the Heterodynes have vanished from the world, and things aren't so hot anymore. One of the other Sparks, who is one that may or may not be a friend, is Baron von Wolfenbach. And
he has the sound of that guy already.
Yes, there's a lot of kind of those kind of names in here, which makes me struggle with the pronunciation. But there are some fun aspects to it. He has kind of consolidated a very large part of Europe under his control. So it, in a way, it brings peace to the area, but there's still some fighting going on. And he's not really a very personable type person. And so a lot of people don't really like him. But he has an airship castle, because his castle got destroyed in the wars. So instead of rebuilding a castle, he just kind of built a really big airship and put some like castle-type doors on it and calls that a castle. That is now Castle Wolfenbach. So he basically has a what's called an airship city that floats around. He doesn't have any sort of seat of government. He stays up in his airship all the time. And so you've got to be able to fly to get up to see him. So at the beginning of our little story, there's a girl named Agatha Clay. And she's kind of a screw-up. She's a student. And she wants to build robots. She thinks she's pretty good about building robots, only unfortunately they never work. They kind of blow up. So she's kind of a screw-up, and everybody considers her quote-unquote damaged. Well, I'll give it away since it's on all of the titles. It's going to turn out that she's actually a Heterodyne who's been hidden from the world. She doesn't even know this. She's been raised by the Clays, basically. And the Clays appear to be constructs that were made by her family, and they have raised her. Now, that's the interesting part of some of the stuff that's going on, is they have all these constructs, and it's unclear as to whether they're purely robotic, because apparently people can't tell that they're not real people. So they're part organic, but they're mechanical on the inside. So they're cyborgs, I suppose. So all of this gets very, very interesting. And the evil Baron, or we're not quite sure if he's evil. I shouldn't say that. I don't know if he's evil.
I don't think he is. He's got a castle. He's got a balloon with doors in it. How can he not be?
Yes.
How can he not be a good guy?
Yes. So the head of the university, who was in charge of this whole city, actually, has been sort of protecting Agatha, but he's got to build this big contraption for the Baron, and it actually ends up being a test for the Baron's son, because his father's testing whether he's really a very good Spark at all, whether he's a chip off the old block or he's a loser who he needs to throw into a pit somewhere. So actually, the machine was never designed to work, and it's a test for his son to be able to do that. So in the midst of all of this, bad things happen. The professor gets killed, and Agatha gets really angry. And she also loses this uber special locket that she's always worn since she was a small child, and this kind of sets her off. So all of the stress, losing her locket, her little spark powers start to come out a little bit, only she doesn't know this, and so she does these things in her sleep, which is where the Victorian underwear comes into play. Because she builds robots in her Victorian underwear because she is sleep building robots. So
she does. The robots aren't wearing Victorian. I want to make sure I'm separating that sentence. She doesn't build robots in her Victorian underwear. While wearing her Victorian underwear, she builds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for the clarification.
I think that's
she is wearing Victorian underwear when she builds the robots. Okay. But I will not rule out that some of the robots will end up wearing Victorian underwear, because this just seems like that kind of story. So there are a lot of neat little contraptions running around in here. If you're a fan of steampunk, you're going to like this series. It's very well drawn. The people behind it are Phil and Kaja Foglio. I hope that's how you say it, because I could be totally wrong. But like I said, they've been doing this since 2000. They have actually won, I forget how many Hugos, and I can't believe that I never heard of this before, though I have to say, I have never been terribly into a lot of graphic novels. I have been trying more in the last couple of years to branch out. So when they won their Hugo, I guess I wasn't paying much attention to the graphic novel category, or I would have gone, "Whoa, buddy, steampunk! I've got to go check that out," especially as it's free on the web. Now, a lot of these kind of things I feel are easier to see when they're in print, in a comic or a big bound graphic novel in front of you. Unfortunately, these are rather pricey. A lot of graphic novels are pricey these days, but these are independent. And so they are running, if you buy them from the store that they link to on the site, they're running about $25 a volume. And like I said, there's 13 of them out. However, you can get them in a PDF version from Drive-Thru Comics for $7.99 a volume, which is much cheaper and it's easier to see. Now, I only bring this up because, one, I do believe in supporting artists that put things up online for free. I do think that we should give them, buy a few of their products, give them a few bucks if you enjoy what they do, because they don't have to put that up for free for you to watch or read, especially not this entire series, because this is a really long series and it's a lot of work. So I did get started by getting a couple of the PDF volumes. Now, mainly I did that because my eyes are bad and it's hard to see some of the small bubbles, conversation bubbles on the panels on the website. There's no zoom on the reader, the viewer that they have up. So the only way to zoom is to actually zoom in through your browser, which was getting complicated for me. So I decided I was just going to go buy the PDF. And I will say, I looked through some of the newer panels real quickly, trying not to make sure I spoiled anything for myself, but I didn't see that that was a problem on the newer things. But I did have that issue with the old ones in the archives. So I think you'll really enjoy it if you like steampunk. You possibly have already heard about this, and I'm way behind, but give it a try if you hadn't. It is really fun. It's really quirky, and I wrote down a few of the quotes from. Let's see, what were these from? These were from Volume 2, because that's the one I happened to have a pen handy with
Thank you.
while I was reading. So I've got a couple quotes for you, which will kind of give you the gist of some of the things we're dealing with here. So here's one. "I wouldn't have your master Gilgamesh if you stripped him naked and dipped him in cheese." See, it comforts me to know in Victorian Europe, cheese was very important to girls. And she wouldn't touch this dude even if they dipped him in cheese. Now, that is an insult.
I think.
Yes. Let's see. There are these cute little monsters. Well, they're not supposed to be cute, they're supposed to be terrifying. They're called Jägermeisters, Jungermeisters. I'm not good with the German. They talk, in the way that they're written, they talk with an accent, which is, it does make it a little bit hard sometimes to read what they're saying. But two of them are discussing killing our little friend Agatha, who they have found wandering around the dirigible. And then one of them has to talk sense into the other one, and he says, "And any plan where you lose your hat is," and his friend has to go, "a bad plan." So it's a bad plan if you're going to lose your hat.
I would agree.
There you go, folks. Now you know if you're going to lose your hat, it's a very bad plan and you should really rethink it. Courtesy of Girl Genius. So check it out. It's girlgeniusonline.com, a wonderful web steampunk gas lamp webcomic by Phil and Kaja Foglio. And I think you will really enjoy it. It brightened up my day when I read it. So I really enjoyed it. And I can't wait to get in my my soft covers of the physical copies so that I can catch up on the whole series. Because that's easier for me than reading it online. But they are nice enough that they have put the entire series up online for you to peruse at your leisure.
Very cool. Excellent. Well, so my recommendation could possibly explain how gas lamps work. And so we'll cover that a little bit more because I'm a little surprised that I actually am making the first They Might Be Giant recommendation on Nurture and Support that I have beat Mel to the punch. But and while they will never reach Alice Cooper-esque volumes of recommendations, I bet you because maybe they will because both Mel and I will be recommending They Might Be Giant stuff where as much as it would warm my heart to hear Mel do an Alice Cooper recommendation, I'm not going to hold my breath.
No, I did like your last one, though.
It was fun. And, special thanks for those regular listeners to Nurture and Support, and thank you if you are. Mel was a trooper, and I had mentioned during the last podcast that I personally felt there were a lot of really cool little moments and audio clips of Special Forces. And I buried Mel an email with a bunch of them. I said, like this one, like this one, like this one. And she was nice enough to drop a lot of them into the podcast, which was very cool to have Alice, almost like Alice was with us, you know. It was very nice. And then,
we want you.
So cool. And I thought it was great. And then the ones, I don't know where you scared up the clips from your game, Mel, but those were great too.
Theme Hospital's a great game. Full of all sorts of fun. And there were a bunch more, but I limited myself. It was hard to decide.
It was fun. So it was cool. So we're going to keep, you know, here and there to continue to do that on the podcast. I have once again flooded Mel's inbox a little bit for my recommendation this time because there are a couple moments here as well. And so the first They Might Be Giants recommendation that makes it to Nurture and Support is They Might Be Giants, Here Comes Science is my recommendation, which when you purchase Here Comes Science, you get not only the CD, but you get a DVD. For you kids out there, DVDs were what we used to watch before Blu-ray, but you do get the CD and a DVD of all the songs as well. And then I was a little dismayed. It's a typical They Might Be Giants album, which means there's like a bazillion songs on it, and most of them are under 3 minutes, and that kind of holds true for this as well. There are 19 songs on the copy that us common folk get, but apparently if you purchase it through Amazon, there's a 20th song called Waves that I'm not familiar with because I did not purchase it through Amazon, so I don't know if that's a Prime thing or an Amazon thing or whatever, but there's a 20th song called Waves. But
it's probably just on the digital copy. I'm trying to look. I need to look and see which one I have.
Because they actually, you're going to hear more about They Might Be Giants in the future from both Mel and I in recommendations, but one of the many things they do that's kind of cool is they will do children's albums on occasion. So they did They Might Be Giant, Here Come the ABCs, and Here Comes 1, 2, 3, and then Here Comes Science was the next one. This is a great, you know, these are great albums that if you're either for your kids or if you want to be the cool uncle or the cool aunt, is really, you got a pretty wide age range that you can run with on these and get them. They're entertaining enough even for the smallest of children because they're fun songs. What was interesting about Here Comes Science is the Johns, Flansburg and Linnell, they were conversant in the alphabet. They didn't need help with that. They were conversant in numbers, but they did feel when they got into science, so they actually hired a science consultant for this album to work along with them to make sure that they got it right, because I believe it was John Flansburg said that his last memory of science class was seeing the periodic table and passing out. So they needed a little bit of science chops on there. But it's great. It's really fun stuff. It is, I guess, a children's album, but I I've had it in my car recently listening to it.
You enjoy it anyway.
I do anyway because I learn stuff, and it's just they're very fun musically. And there's some things like if you either listen to the They Might Be Giants podcast or do some other dial-a-song type of activities or whatever, at some point in time you may have run across the Bloodmobile, which is one of my favorite They Might Be Giants songs that makes perfect sense to have on Here Comes Science because it's all about what blood does and sings it. But the white blood cells, which fight infectious germs, are very kind of tough-sounding things in this song. And there might be a little clip here in the podcast that reflects how tough they are.
The white blood cells are soldiers that fight infectious germs.
But we'll see. If not, you can listen to it yourself and find out. But Bloodmobile's on there, and then I'm a Paleontologist is on there, which was most of the songs are written by the Johns of They Might Be Giants. However, I'm a Paleontologist was written by Danny Weinkauf, who's their, I believe, bass player, and he sings it. And Danny's a wise man because it's also the song that if you've ever seen a Payless shoes commercial where the kids are running through a museum and there's a song going, I'm a Paleontologist, it is the Paleontologist song from Here Comes Science from there. So it a little bit of a commercial crossover there. It covers the planets for you. Pluto stays in its degraded status in the planet. It does get a mention. It gets a shout out.
but
it's a planet. But there's controversy on They Might Be Giants, Here Comes Science because one of my favorite They Might Be Giants songs was they had found an old, like, 60s science text about the sun, which was the sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace where hydrogen is turned into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. So they wrote a really, really cool song about that. Mm-hmm. However, when that song, and that's on here, but as that song finishes, it then goes into the next song, which challenges the assertions of that the sun is indeed not a mass of incandescent gas, but rather the sun is a miasma of incandescent plasma, a fourth state of matter.
Yes.
And so it's solid, liquid, gas, and then plasma. And so they're saying it's really not just gas, it's plasma. And so they have the two songs back to back, and so I don't know what to do. I was so convinced that it was a mass of incandescent gas, but I'm going to have to go that it's a miasma of incandescent plasma from now on, based on
to
the song
order. To be differentiated from the blood plasma.
Yes, yeah, this is entirely different. So there's lots of plasma in this,
yes,
too. Then there's the, well, I guess it's science, there's a, it doesn't matter because it's a great song. It's a song called Electric Car. It doesn't really offer you any kind of information on how an electric car might work. It's more a song to say, shouldn't we all drive electric cars? So it feels maybe it's a little bit more of an environmental point of view type of thing. But a Robin Gaswasser, it's really a great song vocally, and I can't really pin the musical style down on it at all. But it's whatever it is, it's outstanding. And so Robin, she sings fairly large portion of it, and she became my own personal hero when I found out she's currently in a band called The Last Car, who apparently creates a lot of Mr. T theme songs. So this is something I must explore further and to understand, but she's tremendous voice. The whole Electric Car song, I think it's a children's album or not, it's a tremendous song. So it's pretty cool there.
Yes.
I think they run out of gas, no pun intended, or plasma, or whatever they run out of. But as they kind of get towards the end of the album, they start kind of throwing a couple things like, well, we need a few more science songs. Let's talk about cells. And they do a song on cells. It's just not as good, and it doesn't match the wonderful speech on cells from Evolution, that cells are bad, which would have been actually a better one for them to do. But that, and then there's a song, and it's called Computer Assisted Design is the name of the song. It's 54 seconds long, and I've never made it to the end. I've always just advanced it. I like everything else on it, but this one here, I'm just kind of like, yeah. and I jump over it. But, you know, so there's a couple little moments that aren't great in here, but the rest of the album is just fantastic. And then for most of us, the album finishes with a wonderful surprise, which is the Ballad of Davy Crockett in Outer Space.
Davy, Davy Crockett, traveling through outer space.
The traditional Davy Crockett song performed by the MIP Giants, but with new and improved lyrics and a mention of Copernicus in it as well. So you purchase this and you get a CD, a DVD, and you learn stuff. And you can join the Great Sun Debate, if you care to, from there, and you get a cool Davy Crockett song. So I would strongly encourage folks to consider getting Here Comes Science either as gifts for the little ones in your life or near life, or just get it for yourself. That's fine. That's totally fine.
Okay. Yes. And the Amazon special track, Waves, that's an MP3 exclusive, and anybody can go buy that. It's 99 cents.
Gotcha.
You can go buy it.
Okay, good.
From Amazon if you really, really need to hear it.
I think I do.
I don't. It looks as if I have not ripped the CD to my computer, so I haven't listened to this in forever, so I'm going to have to go dig that out.
It's fun stuff. And some of the songs that on the first listen you're like, it's okay. Then you come back a couple times later and you start to realize, wow, I really like this song. My Brother the Ape is one kind of an evolution-based song, as you might expect. First time through, I liked it. It was okay, but I wasn't rushing back to hear it again as much as like Davy Crockett. But upon repeated listenings, My Brother the Ape has really, really grown on me. Quite a bit, as well as photos.
The power of They Might Be Giants. I mean, a lot of their songs are kind of, some people might say, well, that's stupid, but you know they're catchy.
They are.
And they just wander around in your head, and all of a sudden, you're in the grocery store singing Little Birdhouse in My Soul, and people want to call security. That's just a personal story.
It can happen. It can happen. But you can learn about, you know, and yeah. And so I am very much convinced that this will not be the last time that you hear about They Might Be Giants from me or from Mel, because we're both pretty big fans. But I got the first one in. So They Might Be Giants, Here Comes Science, CD and DVD, and a bonus Amazon one track if you want to go buy it. So highly recommend it, or just watch a Payless Shoe Source commercial, and you can hear one of the songs that way. And there you go.
I bet there are some videos up on YouTube. I have never looked for that album, but I bet there are.
I would think so.
And they had their whole children's show as well for the children-specific albums. So we'll have to dig that up and put a link up in the blog post, because, you
definitely
know. While we may not recommend that you listen to this show with your children present all of the time, we can give you links that you can show the children later.
That's right. Yeah. We probably should keep that segmentation. I think that's probably best for all involved if we do that.
Yes. Yes, because we don't want the children having to ask you what is Victorian underwear. So I think that puts us up to social media recommendations. Do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay.
I could recommend another Alice Cooper album real quick if you wanted, but we'll save that for another show.
We'll save that for the next show.
There you go.
My social media recommendation this week is at Superhero Tex. And I'm sure all of you have seen these sort of things floating around on the internet. It's from a website called textfromsuperheroes.com. And it is exactly what it sounds like. They put pics up of text messages between superheroes that are very amusing and often revealing of some deep character flaws. So they're just funny. I thought since I was going to give you a comic, that I would give you a superhero texting pic recommendation as well. I'm not terribly into all of the superheroes, like, you know, but as long as they're going to make fun of Superman on superhero texts, I can totally get on board with that, because I don't like Superman. So follow at Superhero Text if you don't already, and you enjoy funny text messages between your favorite comic book superheroes. You'll enjoy it. You'll get a smile and a laugh.
Very cool. So hopefully mine will provide a few chuckles as well. It is a Twitter account. It's called Nailed It, at NAILEDIT. Nailed it. Yep. And most of the photos, they didn't really nail it. And so every once in a while, there is a true, wow, this person nailed it. And they did a great job. But I would say probably 8 out of 10 times, it's kind of the reverse, whether the most recent one up is someone trying to be romantic and they took like a cassette tape, they pulled all the cassette tape out and they used it to create kind of a charcoal sketch. And so it created this the top one is an actual very attractively done, almost photorealistic charcoal sketch made just with cassette tape, you know, kind of pulled out. And again, for you kids, a cassette tape, go ask your parents what a cassette tape is, but it's little black kind of tape.
I don't even think they sell cassette tapes at the used bookstore they sell records, but I don't think they even have cassette tapes anymore.
I think the cassette tape, I think the cassette tape has gone the way of the 8-track, but
it might have a comeback since it featured so prominently in Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe that will bring some nostalgia back for the old cassette tape.
Little retro there. It was like that. I made you a mixtape. That whole, you know, they can't just go away that soon. But the top photo is that, you know, someone took a very thin piece of plastic that's black and created a very nice charcoal sketch thing. And then below it is when the other person tried to do it. And it's just sad. You know, it's not even close. And so it's nailed it. And no, they didn't.
Yes.
Someone doing a Batman mask by holding a black cat over their head would be another example of a nailed it. Recreating famous scenes from a movie like the Titanic. All these are there. Chocolate fountain. You know, they show the nice picture of the chocolate fountain, and then they show this kind of
lumpy,
kludgy thing. They nailed it. So it's worth a chuckle or two. It's a fun little account. So it's a nice little addition to a timeline. So I'm going to recommend Nailed It for this week.
Mm. Yeah, any of us involved in crafty endeavors has fallen victim to the Nailed It conundrum.
Nailed It moments, yes, indeed.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of which, I totally forgot to tell you how I came about learning about my recommendation this week.
I was going to ask you that. I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's a very unlikely source. I actually got a link to this webcomic while I was on Ravelry looking at knitting patterns. And I was looking at someone's project that had some gears and cogs knit in this scarf, and they had given it a name. They called it a something or other clank, and that they used that term in the webcomic. And she's like, if you have never read this webcomic, you have got to go read this. And so I followed her recommendation and clicked the link, and there you go. So Knitting, Girl Genius was brought to you all today by knitting.
Oh,
I thought you'd appreciate that.
Here, I had, no. Well, that's a good recommendation, so I guess I got to give props to knitters for that. But
it just goes to show that, you know, you can find a gem in the unlikeliest of places. Who knew I'd find a webcomic, a steampunk webcomic, from looking at a scarf pattern on Ravelry. So there you go. I meant to mention that. I thought that was very funny that that's how I came across that. But that's the truth. Honest truth, y'all. So unless you have something else to add, I think it's about time we turn this puppy over to Matt to tell everybody how they can reach us for comments.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Matt, take it away.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Please don't go.
The drones need you. They look up to you.
Nurturing and supporting.